Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Meat.
Hey, Ronch.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm peachy.
Yeah, you
got to hang out with you all day.
And Ed. Ed is back.
Ah, yes.
Ed's in a really good mood today.
Is Ed fighting or is Randy fighting?
I think Randy is fighting today, but Ed's on standby if we ever need him. We did have somebody who Ed's doing great. He's having the time of his life. I don't think Ed can be in a bad mood.
No. Ed is the guy that everybody loves at the party. Everybody's high-fiving. You know, in like old school, going streaking, all that? That's Ed.
You got a dart in your neck.
Everybody's favorite guy.
I think you could steal Ed's dog from him, and he would just say, "Hey, man, just treat her right.
Get her some Funyuns, man."
Well, we're glad to have Ed back, and what are we fighting over today?
We've got a pair of tickets to see Chris Young, not the baseball player.
There are
Hollywood,
two baseball players.
Players. The country music artist at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. He will be there Thursday, July 11th with special guest Chris Jansen. You can get more information or your tickets online at 101ESPN.com.
And our fighter this afternoon is...
Adam,
what are you...
How's it going, guys?
We're great. How are you?
Doing well.
Are you doing better than Ed?
Not quite. If I get up to Brett Hull level, I'll be doing all right.
Hey, do we know where Brett Hull is? He's probably okay by now, right?
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's good. We've seen pictures. If he wasn't, we would have heard by now.
I got to
tell
you, that whole parade day is never going to get old. How about for you, Adam? Did you go down and catch it?
We did not. We stayed home and watched it on TV.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You stayed out of the mess, but the mess was fun.
Yeah.
At least you watched it. All right. Are you ready to fight? And you are fighting Randy today. You are not fighting Ed.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right. Yep, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Question number one. On February 21st, the Blues' 11-game win streak ended. Which team delivered the loss to them? Was it Dallas, Toronto, or Boston?
Let's go with Toronto.
Question number two, Adam. The most quality starts a Cardinal pitcher has this season is 8. Miles Michaelis shares that with what other Cardinal pitcher? Is it Jack Flaherty, Dakota Hudson, or Adam Wainwright?
Dakota Hudson.
Question number three. With 645 home runs, where does Albert currently stand on the all-time home run list? Is it 4th, 5th, or 6th?
Let's go 4th.
And question number four. On this date in 1999, Brett Hull scored a Stanley Cup winning goal for the Stars in overtime. Which overtime period did it happen in? Was it the first, the second, or the third?
The third.
All right, let's bring... let's bring in Randy. Adam, how do you feel now?
Feeling okay. I think I knew a couple.
Okay. Are you, what are you doing right now besides fighting?
I just got off of work.
Okay. Did you have a good work day?
Yeah, it was pretty long, but not too bad.
Long? Well, what time did you get there?
7.
Yeah, that is a long work day.
What time do you wake up? 11?
No, noon? I'll get up like 9:30, 10.
Whoa.
I ignore you for many hours, though, if you're wondering.
I wish I could do that and not get fired.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Hey, Randy.
Yes, sir.
Say hello to Adam, who's disappointed, by the way, that he's not fighting Ed.
I think we've heard enough of that for today.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't think so, man.
Okay.
Say hello to Adam.
Adam, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Randy?
Good.
All right, Randy, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number one. On February 21st, the Blues' 11-game win streak ended. What team delivered the loss to them?
11-game winning streak. They played like 17 in 28 days or something like that. I think it was the Dallas Stars.
Question number two, Randy. There are two Cardinals with 8 quality starts this year. One of them is Miles Mikolas. Who is the other?
I think I would go with Dakota Hudson.
Question three, with 645 home runs, where does Albert currently stand on the all-time homer list?
Well, let's see. You've got Mays at 660, Ruth, Bonds, A-Rod. And I don't think anybody else has more than 6. You said 645?
Yep.
I'll go with Bonds, Ruth, A-Rod, Mays. I'll go 5th.
And question number 4, on this date in 1999, Brett Hull scored a Stanley Cup winning goal for the Stars in overtime. What overtime period was it in?
I think it was in the 3rd overtime.
We have a winner. Well, I'm sorry, Adam, but Randy got you 3-2. That's the final today. It was Dallas that ended the Blues' 11-game win streak in February on the 21st. Dakota Hudson has the most quality starts for a Cardinals pitcher, along with Miles Mikolas. Willie Mays is 5th all-time. Albert is directly behind him. So the list is Bonds, Aaron, Ruth, A-Rod, Mays, and then Albert Pujols, who is 6th. Mays has 660 home runs. And it was a 3rd overtime in which Brett Hull scored a Stanley Cup game winner for the Stars in 99. So, Adam, thanks for playing.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Adam. Adam with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, where it's 410. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Always great to have them as part of the show. And the Albert Pujols Charitable Foundation is doing some great stuff. They're hosting a drawing for 2 all-inclusive tickets for the Friday game between the Cardinals and the Angels. For every $5 donated to the Pujols Family Foundation, a person will be entered for a chance to win. The link to donate is available at the Albert Pujols Family Foundation website and on their Facebook page, and it'll be open until 10 o'clock Thursday morning. So 2 all-inclusive tickets for Cardinals-Angels, Albert's return, courtesy of the Pujols Family Foundation. You donate $5 to the Pujols Family Foundation, you will be entered for a chance to win that pair of tickets. The link is available at the Pujols Family Foundation Facebook page and the website, PujolsFamilyFoundation.org.
Fantastic.
There you go. As we roll on in the Fast Lane, the Cardinals are struggling and fingers are already being pointed at Mike Schilt. Is it fair? That's next on 101 ESPN. That was a mic drop to 101 ESPN, and obviously Mike Schilt, the Cardinals skipper, is taking part of the blame for the Cardinals not being in first place in the NL Central as we are in mid-June now. The Cardinals still 2.5 out in the Central, and I guess pretty much dead in the water, and a lot of the complaints have been about accountability with Mike Schilt and his lack of making changes in the lineup when the lineup isn't performing. You could take out Paul Goldschmidt. Don't know if you're going to do better. I don't know if you're going to do better with Jairo Munoz on the middle infield than Wong or DeJong. I guess you could have tried to play a healthy Jerko at third base over Carpenter. Ozuna, you don't have anybody that's going to do better than that. I suppose that you could try somebody, Lane Thomas, in center field. Bring him up and play him rather than Bader or Fowler. And I guess you could play Jose Martinez more. I don't know that there are
significantly better obvious options on the roster than the guys that he ordinarily trots out there.
This is where I get irritated with managerial criticisms. What's he supposed to do? Make a different lineup? Okay, same guys, different lineup. Let's rearrange everybody. Let's just pick names out of a hat, and we'll set our lineup that way. But who should play over who else? Who on this roster deserves to be in the lineup every day that is not in the lineup every day? Besides Jose Martinez.
That's the only one that would even be close.
That's not his fault. There's no DH. If there was a DH in the league, we could have Jose Martinez in the lineup every day, but there isn't one. So you got to play Dexter Fowler. Well, guess what? Fowler's one of the guys who's actually producing. So how else do you squeeze him in? Where do you put him? First base? So you got to take Goldschmidt out? Okay.
He got rid of his first baseman's mitt, and no, he's not going to replace Goldschmidt.
So then there's nowhere to put him. What are you supposed to do? If you want to make criticisms about the little things the team doesn't do right, I'm not always convinced that's the manager's fault when a team doesn't run the base as well. But guess what? This team does run the base as well. They're one of the best running base-running teams in baseball.
Number one.
That's in fact the only thing or the thing they're doing the best of any other team in baseball is running the bases. It's the other stuff they're having issues with. So
they've turned the most double plays. They've got the fourth fewest errors.
Defense is good.
The only teams with fewer errors are Arizona, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia in the National League.
It's not the rangiest team defensively. That's also not a manager's fault. That's an issue of personnel. So if we're going to make real criticisms about what the Cardinals are or what they are not, it's about roster. It's about personnel. It's not about what the manager is or is not doing. That's when I get annoyed when we start talking about managers. What's he supposed to do? Make Goldschmidt hit to his career average and to what he usually does in terms of OPS? How's he going to do that?
And I guess you can, if you'd like, say that Jeff Albert isn't getting the most out of the hitters. I think you and I have both said that most of the time when you get to the level of a Paul Goldschmidt, you probably aren't talking or listening to the hitting coach a lot anyway. Most of the time, hitting instructors at the major league level are there as a sounding board.
They're hands off
for the hitters, right? If a hitter comes to them, they'll do what they can to help, but they aren't going to go and say, okay, this is what we have to do.
Here's the problem with the hitting coach. What winds up happening is people know what an offensive coordinator in football does, and they assume that's what a hitting coach is. He's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, do you think that one-on-one, when a guy is at the plate, and I've had this argument, hundreds of times in my career, with people who just assume that you fire the hitting coach and everything is going to get better. Yeah, you might get a bump for some guys, and it might be temporary, but when it comes down to it, a batter is in the box, and he can work on stuff all he wants, but he's usually going to fall back on his instinct. And he's either going to succeed or not because of what he does instinctively. It's not because of what his hitting coach does. And you might just every now and then get that one special relationship with one hitting coach and one particular hitter, and that guy talks about his hitting coach and this one particular coach he had and said, man, this guy changed my life. But that is not typical. It doesn't happen with every single hitter. These guys are going to, by and large, fail on their own or succeed on their own.
And that's
the problem.
You need Goldschmidt. The big problems offensively are Goldschmidt and Carpenter, the two guys that you counted on as your corner infielders and really the centerpiece guys of your offense coming into the season. Based on what we thought Marcell Ozuna was coming into the season, hey, last year Carpenter had 36 home runs and Goldschmidt was one of the best hitters in the league. You expect those guys to be able to approximate their career numbers. They haven't even come close yet. So that's one issue that you have. Then the other issue that you have is that the starting pitching, which we were worried about during spring training, because my thought was, hey, are Michaelis and Flaherty going to be able to replicate their success of last year after one good major league year? And any reasonable person would have been concerned about the health of Carlos Martinez, Michael Wacha, and Adam Wainwright. All those fears have come to pass. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're Mike Schilt, how do you make Michael Wacha better physically? How do you make Adam Wainwright avoid the hamstring? How do you make
Carlos Martinez work out and make his shoulders strong to start in the Dominican Republic. I don't know how a manager does that. I think that the criticism of the manager in this particular instance is probably pretty dramatically misplaced.
It's the only thing that people, and this happens everywhere. It's not just here in St. Louis. It happens everywhere. Anytime a team is struggling, the first person you look at is the manager of the team. And this has been going on in baseball forever. My opinion of what a manager should do is make sure his clubhouse is comfortable, make sure he communicates, make sure the people that play for him like coming to work. That's it. That's the most important thing he can do. But baseball, by and large, is a self-starting. And I don't know if I want to say more than every other sport, but it might be. You know, it might be more than – you have to take personal responsibility if you're a hitter or if you're a pitcher. It's – your coaches can't do all this stuff for you. They can't make you strike guys out. They can't make you keep from striking out when you're at the plate, no matter how much they work on stuff with you.
We get a text from the 618. So if you don't hold Schilt accountable for those things, then why did you guys all want Matheny gone? Well, I would argue that the Cardinals had far and away the most errors in the National League in each of the last 2 years. That has been straightened out. The Cardinals were not among the worst. They were the worst base running team in baseball under Mike Matheny over the last couple of years. When you talk about double plays, they just didn't turn them. I've always said that the purview of a manager are those things that you said, to provide a content clubhouse and get guys to play hard, and fundamentals. Those are, to me, the main things that a manager takes care of. So I'm going to disagree with the texter's assessment there that I wanted Matheny gone because of those things. No, my main issue at the end with Mike Matheny, and I think most people will remember that I was a pretty staunch defender of Mike Matheny because the overall one-loss record was solid, but there is no denying that fundamentally the team was terrible under him.
No, and I think the other...
And unhappy.
Yes, see, then that plays into what I'm talking about. That's what I think is the most important thing. And sometimes you can have a manager who will wear out young pitchers, wear out particular relievers. And I don't think it's a rampant problem in baseball, but every now and then you've got a guy who will consistently go to the same reliever all the time. And we talked about that ad nauseum when it was Seth Maness, and then it was now I'm blanking on his name from a couple of years ago, a guy they constantly went to.
Segrist.
And even last year there was somebody else that was happening to, and he just wasn't the same guy because he was getting worn out, because that was the only guy in the bullpen he trusted in the middle innings. Mm-hmm. That's a thing you cannot do. I don't really have that kind of sense here. Mike Schilt isn't doing that. So the most important job a manager can do is the stuff we're talking about. Make sure they're happy. And make sure they're in the right position. It is up to each one of those hitters individually to not freaking strike out. Or if they're typically home run hitters, it's up to them to start hitting more home runs. There's nothing Mike Schilt is going to do to make that happen.
Might have been Matt Bowman you were talking about last year.
Matt Bowman, that's the guy.
Who's got like an 0.94 with the Reds this year. He's pitching great.
How's that? It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Like pretty
in
good.
What's the word I'm talking about or trying to think of it? It's like the gallows humor I feel like we're having now, laughing at all the players who have done well this year that the Cardinals have let go.
And one mistake that you can make, and I understand impatience. I love impatience. But I think one mistake that you can make is to judge a team based or a player based on 70 games. You can look at Paul Goldschmidt's career and say, okay, these 70 games are the most important because they're the 70 he played with the Cardinals. Or you can look at what he's done for the other 8 years. Same thing with Matt Carpenter, who is off to a horrible start. But you can say, okay, well, he's done this for 7 years, or is it going to be what we've seen in the 70? I think we have a pretty dramatic tendency as baseball fans to overestimate the outlier.
I would agree with that, and I think there's a lot of recency bias also. When it comes to Goldschmidt, my expectation is he's going to be okay in the end. He may not have a season like he typically does, but you're not wrong to expect that to happen. He is who he is, and the track record shows it. So that's why in baseball, usually you should be a little bit more patient with somebody like that, because you expect him to ultimately be that dude. He may never, for whatever reason, he might come here and the old Paul Goldschmidt is gone. I would doubt that. I would think he's going to be fine. But who's going to make him be the old Paul Goldschmidt? Mike Schilt? Some other manager they bring in? A different hitting coach? Look, people used to talk about Rudy Jaramillo about 10 years ago, like he was a god of hitting. Do you know why he was a great hitting coach?
He had good hitters?
Because he had Adrian Beltre and Michael Young and Ian Kinsler when these guys were awesome. That's why he was a great hitting coach. He went somewhere else, and he was no longer a good hitting coach because he didn't have those hitters anymore.
So it may or may not be Mike Schilt. It may or may not be Jeff Albert. It may or may not be the players. You may be right when you criticize everybody, not you, but you listening and texting in or tweeting in at 101 ESPN Fastlane. You may be right, but my point is my suggestion is just give it a little bit of time to breathe here.
Look,
because they are 2.5 out in the division.
And that's what I'm doing too. But if I have to look at the teams that they are fighting with, Brewers and Cubs most likely, which of the three teams do you think is more equipped to go on a real run?
Chicago, if they're healthy.
Right. And that's
because of their healthy starting pitching.
And that's what I had been saying going back to before the season started. The Cardinals might be okay in the end. They might end up in the postseason. But I am concerned they just don't have enough. And they didn't go hard enough for this season. I said it before the season started. I could be wrong ultimately, but that was my concern, and it is still my concern now. They may just not be talented enough.
It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. The NHL awards are tonight, and we've got more information on Vladimir Tarasenko's playoff injuries. That's next on 101 ESPN. Blues Chairman Tom Stillman, who announced today that his all-local ownership group has acquired the remaining minority interest in the Blues, previously held by out-of-town Sports Capital Holdings. So the purchase means Stillman's group now owns 100% of the team, and it's an all 100% St. Louis-owned franchise. The NHL awards tonight from Vegas. That's where Tom Stillman joined us. And when you look at the people that the Blues have up for awards, Craig Berube for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year, Doug Armstrong for GM of the Year, the Calder, Jordan Binnington is up, and then Ryan O'Reilly up for the Lady Bing and the Selke. They all have chances, although I would think that Barry Trotz will be the runaway winner for Coach of the Year. After the Islanders lost John Tavares, they brought in a first-year goalie in Robin Lehner, who had all kinds of personal issues. He was there for the whole year. I would be really surprised if Trotz didn't win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, and I think that because of where the Blues were and the fact that Berube wasn't there from the start of the season, that's probably going to hurt him in the voting, don't you think? Because all of this stuff, again, and I know we talked about this earlier with Tom Stillman, this is stuff that's decided prior to the playoffs happening. So everything that happened in the playoffs, winning the Stanley Cup, none of that really matters. And I think that's okay. That's probably the right way to do it. But he's going to get penalized because of that, I think.
ESPN.com's Greg Wyshynski was on with Bernie and Michelle this morning here on 101 ESPN, and he was asked about Craig Berube's chances.
I don't think he's going to win. I think that if there is sort of that coach that fits the taking something bad and making it good slot, it's going to be Trotz, who did it all year with the Islanders and, you know, is a really beloved figure. You got to remember that the hockey writers don't vote for the Jack Adams. It's actually the hockey broadcasters that vote for the Jack Adams. And you know, as great as Craig was, and as miraculous as the turnaround was for the Blues, I just think that they are probably going to fall more in love with the Trotz narrative of being jettisoned from a Stanley Cup championship team, and then going to the Islanders where they lost Tavares, and then, you know, getting them into the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think that's the way I would have voted, as a matter of fact. As much as I love Chief, I would have voted that way too.
And I think there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, right? I mean,
yeah,
there's you can't argue against that. again, I think any argument that you would make for Craig Berube would have to be in the Stanley Cup context. How far the team went in the playoffs, but that doesn't count here.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't factor in. You can't really consider it. This is going to be about what happened in the regular season. And what the Islanders did is, I'm not going to say they're more impressive than the Blues because they're not, but the Blues should have been better from the start of the season than they were.
Yeah, they were. They should have, and he did a great job of coaching them up.
Correct.
John Kelly also joined Bernie and Michelle this morning and told us which Blue he thinks has the best chance to win.
If I had to handicap it, I would say O'Reilly has the best chance to win. You know, the thing about both Binnington and Berube is that they were only here for, in Binnington's case, half a year, and in Berube's case, you know, about 65% of the year. You know, that obviously hurts them that they weren't here all year, but it also says a lot about what Berube, you know, did in his, you know, 50 games or so.
He was amazing. And you look at Jordan Binnington. I know that Elias Pettersson is getting a lot of play from Vancouver, and he should. But, man, he really fell off after the All-Star break, and that's when Jordan Binnington was spectacular. And there might be a recency bias there, too. As great as Pettersson was and the fact that he did have – overall, really good numbers for a rookie. Jordan Binnington was the key player-wise to the Blues going on the run that they went on.
See, now that's the argument I think that you can make, and you're right in it. Pettersson was the dude that people were talking about a couple of months into the season. This is going back to the turn of the year. That was the favorite. And when we were talking about rookies coming in and making an impact for the Blues, who they would have to beat for the Calder, that was the guy that everybody talked about as being the favorite. And that's so that we're talking about a season-long thing with him. But even though it was half the season, what Jordan Binnington accomplished and in helping turn around this team, if you want to make the argument, if you're looking at all the teams that have had a turnaround and you're trying to find a focal point, one reason why all of it happened, aside from the coach, it's because of the goaltender. That goaltender changed everything. The guys in front of him played better in front of him. And some of that is, I'm sure, coaching. Some of that, I'm sure, is Craig Berube and them listening to the message and buying in. We always talk about the buy-in. In fact, we joke about the buy-in all the time. The team did it. But every single player, former player, whomever we talked to, said when you have a goaltender behind you that is stopping everything, it makes you play better. It makes you play more aggressively. You're not concerned about making mistakes. You can play your game and not have to worry about it because you know you've got somebody behind you that's going to stop it. And that gives you confidence to play. Everybody we talked to said that. Anybody who's played hockey at the professional level said that very thing. Jordan Binnington made that possible for the Blues. He's my favorite for that award.
Now, for the Lady Bing, it should be Ryan O'Reilly. He only took 3 penalties over the last 79 games of the season. He took a couple in the first 3 games. He took 3 penalties in the last 79 games. And Ryan O'Reilly is arguably the best two-way centerman in the entire league. I could easily see O'Reilly winning both of those. Alexander Barkov of the Panthers is also on both of those lists. So Bergeron is there, and he gets
for the Selke.
Yeah, for the Selke as a publicity guy, I think O'Reilly should actually win both of those.
I bet Bergeron wins the Selke, but as far as late, if you're a defensive player, naturally you're going to take a lot of penalties, and he just doesn't do it.
No.
Plus, he's an all-around nice guy.
Great guy.
So, yeah, you got to give it to him.
Jim Thomas reporting at STLtoday.com that Vladimir Tarasenko suffered a shoulder injury in Game 2 of the finals. He was bumped by a Boston player early in the second, and it affected him the rest of the series. He did miss some practices and scored only 1 goal the rest of the finals, so he was playing with a bum shoulder.
I knew it wasn't no skate.
No.
How long he was off the ice that game. Everybody was, he had a skate problem. Yeah. I knew it was something.
And obviously we know that Ryan O'Reilly had the cracked ribs that he had revealed. By the way, with Vladdy, we don't know whether it's the same shoulder that he had surgery on last offseason.
Right.
But hopefully he'll be fine for the start of next season.
I think he'll be just fine. I wish the offseason for that reason was a little bit longer. Give these guys time to recover.
Yeah, cut it down to 72 games. I'd be a happy camper.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that,
too.
They
would, too. The Cardinals are at home tonight against the Marlins, and Brad Thompson has the call with Danny Mac on FS Midwest. BT joins us next on 101 ESPN. Cardinals are taking on the Marlins tonight. Ronge and Randy with you. BT is going to be with Danny Mac, and BT is with us now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Because you're such a big celebrity, how you doing?
I am doing great. It feels nice to be on the celebrity line, I'll tell you that. And I feel like a celebrity right now due to the fact, fellas, that I'm sitting here in the green seats. These are nice. I've never had the opportunity to sit in the green seats for a game. I got to do this.
So you're sitting in Marlins man seat right now?
Well, no. Look, I'm not directly behind. Even when the green seats were, and they're empty now, nobody's in the stadium yet, I still wasn't going to take Marlins man seat. I went off to the side a little bit.
Okay. Well, you don't want to do that because, you know, it's Marlins, man. He'll be upset.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get in a confrontation like that.
No.
And, look, I'm always friendly with Beat's friends. Like, if he brings any of his buddies around, and we know how tight him and Marlins, man are. So, like, we don't want to start a confrontation.
Meat's got a ton of Marlins, man cat pictures on his phone for some reason.
It's the weirdest thing in the world, but, like, friendships are weird, you know?
Yeah.
So, you think the Cardinals will score a run tonight?
You know what I do? I'm going to go out on a limb and say they are going to score a run. I feel pretty good about it. I don't know if I bet the house, but no, I feel very good. Look, Jordan Yamamoto is a puzzle that they don't know how to solve yet. And it was, well, not funny to Mike Schilt, certainly, but he was asked about Jordan Yamamoto a couple of minutes ago in kind of a joking fashion. It's like, hey, you happy you don't have to see him again? And he's like, no, we'd love to see him again tonight. We'd love to see him again in 5 days. You know how he is. He's a competitor. The guys are competitors. But, golly, he did a good job of keeping them totally off balance. He didn't throw one pitch last night, Yamamoto, where at least I said, wow, look at that. Like, that's special. But he carved them up, and he kept them off balance. And he showed that he can throw all of his pitches. He can throw them for strikes. And he's not scared. Kid made his second double-A start, both against the Cardinals, came straight up from double-A, and he's just pumping strikes. I love it.
Do you think, and I know you guys were talking about this on the broadcast last night, you didn't seem to think there was that he did much of an adjustment, and I guess he didn't really have to because what he was doing his first time around worked, and it was about the same the second time around against the Cardinals.
It was what it seemed like. I mean, and I didn't dig deep into each sequence, to each individual, but he showed the same stuff. He spotted up his fastball. He'll throw his breaking ball early in the count. He'll try to finish you with the heater. He's totally okay with contact, and that's what he did the first game on Wednesday against the Cardinals in Miami. Is he's not trying to punch out the world. Now, he got his strikeouts, but he's not approaching it that way. I appreciate the aggressiveness that he went out there with and the fact that he's not nibbling. You would think that a guy that comes up from double-A that is, you know, 88 to, you know, 93, saw a couple of good bolts from him, but you think that that guy would nibble and he'd be on the corners and he'd be a little intimidated to face any big league team and, you know, throw it down the middle and trust it, but he's not at all. He was tough, and the night before, I thought Eliezer Hernandez threw the ball really well also, and these are two guys that certainly weren't in the rotation. Hernandez was the sixth guy to ever make a start for them this year. This was the last team that had to use a sixth starter, and then Yamamoto's been great too. So they're showing off a little young depth, I guess, right now the Marlins are.
BT, how do the Cardinals fix their offensive woes?
Man, well, if I had that answer, I'd probably be like in uniform and getting paid way more money. I do know this, and I truly believe it. This team is – the offense is – well, I don't want to say the offense is good because, look, you can look at the numbers and say they're not. I believe that the pieces are there for this offense to be very good. And the Cardinals here and last night aside have figured out ways to win ball games with the offense the way that it is. And one of the things they've been doing a lot is running, right? A lot of stolen bases here recently. We saw them take advantage of the Mets like that and then end up getting some clutch hits. And I would just love to be able to see the offense do the things that it's supposed to be doing and then be able to utilize some of that speed element as more of a luxury than a necessity right now. But Goldschmidt is, even though he had the great game on Sunday against the Mets, big-time home run, look, he's struggling a little bit. He didn't look good yesterday, looked very uncomfortable with the slider. I can't believe, and this isn't me just being like Cardinal guy, I can't believe he forgot how to hit and doesn't know how to drive the baseball and isn't going to get it figured out. I believe it's going to be there. I think that DeJong is getting back to where he needed to be. So, look, it's a matter of time. Unfortunately, I guess you are running lower and lower on time every single day, but the Cardinals still only a few games out right now in the Central, and they believe that it's something that is going to rectify itself.
I suppose if you had the answer to this next question, you'd probably be making about $20 million a year.
Oh, good,
But why do you suppose, if you had to make a guess, why that struggling is happening for Goldschmidt, for somebody who, and I know he did it last year at the beginning of the year, but for somebody who is typically just a terrific hitter, why do you think this is happening right now?
Because baseball. Like, I really feel like it's one of those because baseball. As soon as we think that we have something figured out, we don't. I know, just speaking from a pitching standpoint, you might have a time where your arm feels great, but for some reason you're mechanically out of whack a little bit and it screws you up totally. And, you know, maybe that's the case for him right now. It could just be a matter of timing, a matter of picking up the ball, some slight adjustment that he needs to make. And I was just walking down through the clubhouse, and they have their batting cages there, and you hear loud noises. And who is it? It's Paul Goldschmidt. He's taking tons of hacks down there trying to figure some stuff out, trying to get some timing. Goldie with the day off today, at least early on. Ronel Ravelo is going to be starting at first base. But I think it's just because baseball is hard and it's weird. And the guy's been so good, and at some point you believe he's going to figure it out. But it's just been tough sledding so far. But I don't know. You guys tell me, man. You guys have both seen Goldschmidt for a long time. Do you guys believe that it's going to turn around for him?
I don't have any reason to think otherwise. Unless he's hurt, unless something's bothering him and it's nagging and it's just totally taking away from his mechanics in some way or harming his bat speed in some way, I just don't I don't see why he won't pick it up. Usually when somebody who's at his age stops hitting, it's because they're hurt, not because they've forgotten how.
Well, and I agree with you, and I certainly haven't heard anything – definitely nothing official, but nothing even behind the scenes. Usually you pick up stuff like that. Oh,
right.
Well, hey, he's dealing with so-and-so, so maybe that's the issue. But haven't heard that about him at all. He's healthy. He's working. And I just got to believe it's going to happen for him. But certainly, rough night last night. I love seeing him come up with bases loaded, even though he'd had his struggles. I just feel like every time he gets up, something good might happen. It didn't happen last night. It was a backup slider, popped up to second base. I mean, it's I'm sure he's upset about it, and he's trying to work through it.
BT, the Cardinals will face a guy that grew up a Cardinal fan tonight. Trevor Richards pitched at Breeze Modern Day. He was brought up last year. He pitched against both World Series teams. He pitched against both Boston and L.A. And this year just hasn't gotten a bunch of run support. They're only scoring 3 runs a game for him. But it'll be interesting for Trevor Richards tonight, I'm sure, pitching at Busch Stadium, where he grew up going to Cardinal games and watching this team.
I got a feeling it's going to be awesome for him. Also pitched for the Gateway Grizzlies for a couple of years. That's where they signed him out of, is his second year with the Grizzlies. So I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. And he has not got a ton of runs before. By the way, a trend that we all hope continues in this one, even if you're family and friends of him. I'm sorry. Apologize. But Cardinals need a W. But, no, he's got good stuff. Really plus changeup. And that's a pitch that he's had for a long time. Just gotten better and better. He trusts it. He'll spot up his fastball and throw the changeup off of it. But I always get excited for somebody that gets an opportunity to, pitch against the team or, you know, for the team, obviously, is the dream for a lot of guys. But that they grew up rooting for, cheering for, have been a fan for, I'm sure it'll be a special night for him and for his family.
Hey, BT, I want to get your take on this because we were talking about Marlins guy and Barnes. And we did mention the other day that that he, for some reason, out of nowhere and has been doing it for a couple of years, just texting Meat, and Meat never responds, but he just sends him text messages, kind of like he texts women and they don't respond. So he sent one to Meat this morning, all right? and it's just unsolicited, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, but it basically says no one outside of St. Louis cares that Albert Pujols is going back to play against St. Louis. It's stupid. St. Louis is honoring someone who left them. What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, I wonder if it was because we were talking about him and now he's trying to troll a little bit.
Well, I mean, it was 9 a.m. Today.
I will say that this is really funny and this is perfect timing because he is not the only one that feels that way because I got, gentlemen, this is how I know I'm starting to make it a little bit. I got my first bit of hate mail yesterday, and it was sent to the ballpark, and it was sent by a gentleman who I won't say his name, doesn't matter. And look, everybody can feel how they feel. But he basically called me an idiot. I didn't basically. He called me an idiot because I was excited that Albert was coming back, and I was really excited to see the fans' reaction to him and that nobody cares, and it's ridiculous. And then he decided to rattle off for a long time about all the things that Albert has that he doesn't have, which, look, it's a long list for each and every one of us. But I do know that it's more special here in St. Louis than it is anywhere else. Totally understand that. And I get it that not everybody's going to be into it. There are people listening right now that are saying, yeah, I'm going to write Brad a letter too because I feel the same way. That's fine. I got a feeling on Friday, whenever he gets his first at-bat, whenever that is, and hopefully he's starting at first base and we get to do this early, this place, I believe, is going to go nuts. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be shocked.
That letter was signed Marlins guy, BT. You got to read to the bottom.
What if it was? I didn't read the fine print.
Yeah, you need to read that part.
It was three pages, too. Of writing, by the way.
I love that. He used pen and everything. And a stamp.
Completely impressed. And a stamp.
Like the lady. That's like the lady who sent a letter to Randy for making fun of the lady who fell in the meat grinder.
Well, that wasn't okay, and we all knew that at the time. And Randy just has poor taste every once in a while.
Yeah. I with the computer, wrote back and said, "Dear, whatever your name is, thanks for listening. I appreciate the letter. Sincerely, Randy Carricker."
That's not really what you said.
And, the message was there, and you understood the error in your ways, and you're going to change. That's great.
Didn't you tell her to keep grinding?
Oh my God.
That may have happened.
That's my boy.
BT, we will be tuned in tonight with you and Danny. You two like to spar, don't you?
Unintentionally. I think he got mad at me last night about the text messages. He was quiet afterwards, but I thought we were having fun, but apparently, I don't know. Who knows?
I think he might have gotten mad at you about what you said, what I texted you earlier.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, that might be.
That happens.
You're not always completely politically correct, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Have a great time tonight. We'll be tuned in.
All right, fellas. You take care, and I'll be with you Friday.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, BT. Brad Thompson with us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. He's a celebrity who gets letters written to him on 101
That's
ESPN.
Man, the effort. Like sending an email, sending a text message or a text to us at the Hot Shots text line 65780, that's easy, right? Mm-hmm. No real effort goes into that. But when you get out a piece of paper, or in this case, multiple pieces of paper, a pen or a pencil or a quill, whatever, and then you fold it, and then you put it in an envelope, you address the envelope, and then you put a stamp on it, and then you take it to the mailbox.
You have to lick the envelope,
too. You have to lick the envelope. That is a hell of a lot of effort.
That is.
So you must really care.
Yeah. I really appreciate it when people do send letters.
It's nice.
It is. Makes me feel old-timey.
I mean, it is super old-timey.
Next up in the fast lane, Lenny Dykstra went dumpster diving over the weekend. We'll tell you why he did. Next, before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.